Yes, he is the God of second chances. Amen, people. Let's grab our hymnals for our final hymn prior to the message today. I'd ask you to open to 355, a glorious hymn that we've not been able to sing because we didn't have the music for it. But thanks to our dear sister down in Florida, Domining, she sent us some really good piano music. I love the sound of her piano, so we're blessed. We're going to be able to expand our genre of hymns. I'm so excited about that. Let's stand and open up to 355. We'll sing all five. Hallelujah. What a Savior. Yeah.
For the Son of God who came, ruined sinners to reclaim. Hallelujah! What a Savior!
Praise the Lord. We love that hymn. Thank the Lord. Please be seated, church. Well, what I love that I was excited because I thought we were going to get that fourth stanza. It says, lifted up was he to die. It is finished, was his cry. Now in heaven exalted high. Hallelujah. What a Savior. Woo. Well, glory. We'll sing again after the message. Let's grab our Bibles at this time, and I'd ask you to open up your Bibles today, church, to the book of Hebrews. I was working on this message all day yesterday, just about. Get over to with me to Hebrews chapter 10. I'm so glad that the whole Bible is for us in one of three ways, doctrinally, historically, or spiritually. And there's a fourth application in many texts, and that is prophetically. So look with me here in Hebrews. It's so good to be a premillennial dispensationalist, rightly dividing the Word of God. There's no confusion when you rightly divide the Word and allow the Holy Spirit to interpret it. Amen? Here in Hebrews chapter number 10. We'll begin reading in verse 32, and I want to preach a message today I've entitled, The Only Way to Live. The Only Way to Live. We'll stand for the reading of God's Holy Word in awe and respect of it. Hebrews 10, verse 32, we read, But call to remembrance the former days, in which, after ye were illuminated, ye endured a great fight of afflictions, partly whilst ye were made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly whilst ye became companions of them that were so used. For ye had compassion of me in my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that, after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry. Now, the just shall live by faith. I want to call your attention to verse 38 from my text, beloved, today. It says, now, the just shall live by faith. Father in heaven, how we thank you for the only way to live, clearly outlined in the book of Hebrews here. And oh God, I thank you for the saving faith thou hast given us. I thank you, Lord, for the new birth, the regeneration of the Holy Ghost. Thank you for salvation, redemption through thy blood. We're so grateful today to know that heaven is our home, Paul said there, while he was in that prison cell. We're so thankful today that we know the truth. Lord, we're so thankful that we've been delivered from the powers of darkness, translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son. We're excited today, Lord. We're looking forward to the rapture, Lord. We want to see you face to face. But in the meantime, oh God, there's only one way for us to live. Now, the just shall live by faith. By faith! Oh, thank you, Lord, for the message today. Bless it to our hearts, oh God. Speak to those around the world that may be listening. And oh God, have thine own way in each of our hearts and lives through Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. Please be seated, church. Glory to God. Look with me at Hebrews chapter 10, again at verse 38. Now, the just shall live by faith. Beloved, this New Testament passage is a quotation from Habakkuk, the minor prophet, chapter 2, verse 4. Now, Habakkuk lived in a day of violence and apostasy. He was somewhat perplexed at what was happening in Israel. Habakkuk sought God, looking for an explanation to the things he saw all around him. Wickedness, evil, on every side. But God assured Habakkuk that he was at work, and that Habakkuk's only responsibility was to live by faith, keeping his eyes on God, not by what he observed going on all around him, but by trusting in the living God, his Savior. Church, just like Habakkuk, we are not to live by explanations. We are to live and operate by faith. Listen now, the reason we worry is due to a lack of faith. So worrying is a mild form of atheism. Because worrying is a way of saying that the problem is too big for God to handle. Worry is faith turned inside out. And faith is worry turned inside out. Faith makes God real to us. And faith is a cure for worry, loneliness, and guilt. Faith is my acceptance of God's acceptance of me. Go to Romans chapter 5, holding your place in Hebrews. In Romans chapter 5, Paul clearly explains what this faith does in Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified by what? Faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Beloved, let me say something today, church. If you have peace with God through Jesus Christ our Lord, you don't have to worry about anything because God is your Father. So the reason we are disobedient and worry is because we do not believe the word of God. Malachi 3, verse 10, don't turn there. God says, prove me now, saith the Lord. He dares you and I to trust him by faith and to prove that he is completely reliable in our daily lives. My dearly beloved brethren, I say unto you today that there is only one way to live, and that is wholly, entirely, and unceasingly by faith. I'd like to suggest three specific reasons why living by faith is the only true option for a child of God today. I call them the three D's of faith, if you will. You know, they all begin with a D. Listen now. First of all, why do we need to live by faith? Why is it the only way for the child of God to live? First, I want us to notice the description of a life of faith. Back to Hebrews, go to chapter 11. Notice the description that God gives of a life of faith. Hebrews 11, the hall of faith chapter? Yes. Hebrews 11. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it, the elders obtained a good report. Now, notice here, church, that biblical saving faith brings spiritual understanding to the soul of those who embrace it. Look at it. We understand, verse 3, certain things that the world does not. Why? Because we have saving faith. Oh, I hope somebody's listening today. Observe the wording closely here. Verse 3. By the word of God. This is critical. In this description of the life of faith, first, let's examine what faith is not. Faith is not blind superstition. Faith is not closing our eyes to reality. Faith is not positive thinking or feelings of optimism. Faith is not a leap in the dark. Faith is not stepping in the light. Faith is not faith in faith. Go to Mark chapter 11. Watch what Jesus Christ says about faith. Very important passage in Mark chapter 11. Drop down with me to verse 22. And Jesus answering him, answered, saying unto them, have faith in God. Wow. The fig tree was with it. And he said, Peter, don't worry about the fig tree. Just have faith in God. Have faith in God. I'm here to tell you, church, today that I've got the answer to every problem you face, and it's faith in God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus himself here states that we are to have faith in God, not in Norman Vincent Peale's bestseller, I'm Okay, You're Okay. So let's look now at what faith is. That's what faith is not. Faith is, listen carefully, faith is solely a confidence that rests in God alone. Look again at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now, faith is the what? Substance of things hoped for. Now, the word substance here in verse 1 can be translated and is, in other parts of Scripture, translated with the word assurance. Assurance. So let's reread that. Now, faith is the assurance, not maybe so, not I hope so, the absolute certainty of the things we hope for. That's what faith is. It is the substance. It's tangible. It's assuredly so. We who possess saving faith have assurance of the things we hope for and believe because of God's divine promises to us. You've got to see the basis for your faith. It is not blind wishing or imagining. The Greek word here for substance was used in the language of Bible times to refer to a title deed. That's something you own, a title deed. That's the substance of our faith. Now, the word hope here does not mean perhaps, verse 1, things hoped for. It doesn't mean things wished for or desired. But it literally means rock-ribbed assurance based upon divine revelation. Oh, I love this message. I had so much fun preparing this message yesterday. Listen, let me repeat that. The word hope in verse 1 does not mean wishing or desiring or perhaps, but it literally means rock-ribbed assurance based upon divine revelation. Here is the problem with the world. They reject divine revelation, so they do not possess saving faith. You cannot go to heaven. You cannot be saved. You can't. be forgiven of your sins without believing what God says. Now, faith, according to verse 1, is the title deed, the confidence, the absolute assurance that what God has said is true and that God will perform it. Do you believe God? I know that's why you're in this house today. This definition of faith wholly eliminates any and all confidence in man or self. Now let me make a statement here. There is no legitimate hope without faith. And there is no legitimate faith without hope. Watch now. True faith is a conviction that sees the invisible. Look again at verse 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things what? Not seen. Now, the word evidence here, notice that word in verse 1. Evidence here literally means a conviction in the Greek. So if we have biblical faith, we have a conviction that is our evidence of something that we've not yet seen. Colossians chapter 1. Flip back a few pages before Philippians. You'll be in Colossians. I'm sorry. In before 1 Thessalonians. And you'll be in Colossians chapter 1. Look at verse 15. Very important. Speaking of Jesus Christ. Verse 15. Who is the image? Not was. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible. Now, before we continue reading, church, notice how the Bible asserts the reality of the invisible world, the spirit realm. It's a given in the Bible. It's not explained. It doesn't have to be. We're going to come back to that. Visible and invisible. Whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things. And by him, all things, visible and invisible, consist. That means continue to be, continue to exist. Now, something else. Faith enables us to treat the future as present and the invisible as seen, meaning that biblical faith is a communication that comes from heaven to the spirit of the believer. You know that heaven is real. You know that Satan is trying to devour you, that hell is a reality, that eternity is to come. Go to Hebrews chapter 11 again. Now look at verse 2. We read, "For by it," by what? Faith. "The elders," that's Old Testament saints, and New Testament elders as well, "obtained a good report." Notice that. You can get a good report card from God. You know that? Yeah, you can. There's only one way to get it. Listen to me. Look at the words in verse 2, "a good report." Now listen carefully, church. Who is the writer speaking of here in verse number 2? He's literally stating that God spoke to the elders. He's saying that all those who live by faith, and those only, will receive one day a good report from God. God is going to say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Listen now, faith should not be altered by appearances. Because when we live by faith, we live above sea level. S-E-E. But sea level, listen, this world is always below sea level. They can't see the invisible. The world today says that seeing is believing. But the Bible says that believing is seeing. Go to John chapter 20. John's gospel. I love this verse by the blessed apostle John. In John chapter number 20. Look carefully with me at verse 29. Jesus saith unto him, "Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet believed. Oh, folks, I hope you're getting excited today. You haven't seen Jesus Christ like Oral Roberts in the flesh. No, you believe, though you've not seen him. 1 Peter chapter 1. Flip over quickly to 1 Peter. Just after James, we come to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 8. Speaking of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love. Oh, man, we got to stop for a minute. You are in love, madly, with someone you've never seen face to face. Aren't you? You know why? Because of the link of your faith. Oh, this is good. Whom having not seen, you love. This is true of every child of God. I don't care where you go in the world, who you meet that loves Jesus Christ. They haven't seen him, but they love him just like you do. Why? Because of the communicated faith of Jesus Christ to that soul. In whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. And the world looks at you and says, what a fool! What are you hooplaing about over there? What are you shouting and praising God about? Hallelujah over that church. You haven't seen Jesus Christ. Amen. But I know him. I love it. So clearly now, beloved, faith should not be fettered by feelings. Faith is confidence that goes beyond emotions. And faith is not limited by logic, but rather faith goes beyond logic. So our first D today is the description of the life of faith. But secondly, I see another D concerning faith. I want us to look secondly at the dynamics of a life of faith. Back to Hebrews chapter 11. Notice the dynamics of the life of faith in verse 3. Through faith, we understand that the worlds, plural, were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Church, faith is the dynamic in spiritual wisdom. Now, dynamics simply means the forces or properties that stimulate growth, development, or change within a system or process. That's what dynamics means. So faith is the force or the property that stimulates spiritual growth, development, and change within the biblical system or process. You see that? Of a spiritual life. That's the dynamics of a life of faith. Now, look at verse 3. Notice carefully in verse 3. The words visible and invisible. And notice which made which. Your secular humanists don't like that. We're God. I'm my own God. I made me. Yeah, right, buddy. Yeah, take a break there. Take a chill pill. God in the Bible is never explained. He is not argued. He is simply presented. In the beginning, God. If you do not believe that he is and is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him, you can't be saved. I'm sorry, it doesn't work by sight. It works by faith. So clearly, the visible was made of things which do not appear. Verse number 3. See that? Things which do not appear, things which do appear. Things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Clearly, God our Maker has designed it that he must be accepted by faith only, not by sight. Look in verse number 4. It gets better. In verse 4, by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Yeah, blood sacrifice. The only one he'll accept. By which he obtained witness, good report, that he was righteous. God testifying of his gifts, blood sacrifice. And by it, he being dead, yet speaketh. He's not dead. He's in heaven. By faith, Enoch was raptured, that he should not see death, and was not found, Because God had translated him. Why? For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. How did he do that? First two words, by faith.
I love it.
You know why you're going to get raptured?
Same reason Enoch did.
You're pleasing God. Listen to me, beloved. Oh, I know. Because I myself have my own weaknesses and setbacks and problems. I know you do too. But God is pleased with you. There's one thing I want to drill into your skulls, church. God loves you because of your faith, not because of what you do or do not do. That's called grace. Now look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now, all people are, let me make a statement. All people are believers. That is, there are those who believe in God, and there are those who believe there is no God. But all people are believers in something. They either believe that God is real, they believe in God, or they believe there is no God. Job chapter 38. In Job, I love the book of Job. In Job chapter 42 chapters, as there will be 42 months in the great tribulation. Amen. Job, and after the 42nd chapter, Job is restored. Hello. Job chapter number 38. Job 38. Look with me here at this verse in Job 38 and verse number 4. We read, God is speaking to Job. Where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare, if thou hast understanding. God says, hey Job, where were you the day I made everything? Job was not yet made, right? Only God could make a statement like that. But folks, it's a given here in verse number 4 that God made everything by Jesus Christ. You see that? In other words, he's saying, Job, you either have to believe that I made it all, or you can die in your sin and perish forever. Wow! Psalm 14. Look ahead a few pages, you'll be in Psalm 14. What a powerful... This is repeated twice, by the way, in the scripture. Psalm 14. The what? Fool. You know, folks, I don't want to get off track. I don't know if anybody's watching the hearings this week with Judge Kavanaugh. We got a bunch of fools in this world. I want to tell you. These people have none understanding whatsoever. Verse 14. The fool that said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They've done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. No. You know what he saw? A bunch of fools. A bunch of fools. Why? Because they refused to believe there is a God. Verse 1. Now again, faith is the dynamic in spiritual worship. You know why? When we worship the Lord, we sing these, we praise, we lift our hands. Why? Because we, corporately, we have saving faith. It's a dynamic. It's real. It's not a dead religion. And the guy's up there speaking Latin. You just want to get out of there as quick as you can, you know. Now let me make a statement. Verse number 6, back in Hebrews chapter 11. Look at this, before I make this statement. Verse number 6, but without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. Now, here's my statement. God is not under any obligation whatsoever to prove himself to mankind. And biblical faith is not a response to proof. Instead, faith is the heart's response to the character of God. Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah chapter 53. We know that Isaiah 53 is the cross. We know that it is Messiah dying for the sins of the world. And look what the prophet writes. Question. Who hath what? Believed. Who believes? Where are the believers today, folks? We're the last of the Mohicans here in New Hampshire. Who have believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord? Who's the arm of the Lord? Jesus Christ. Revealed. For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant. First advent. And as a root out of a dry ground. He, his son, hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He's just a common, ordinary Jew, come to die for the sins of the world. Listen carefully now. Jesus had no outward extravagance or beauty, yet there was in him all of the glory, serenity, dignity, majesty, purity, and character of God in human flesh. They couldn't see it through his human body. When our eyes are right, they respond to light. When our ears are right, they respond to sound. When our heart is right, it responds to God in faith. Faith. The problem lies with the heart of man, not the existence of God. Go to Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3. Look at this verse. Oof. Here is a powerful verse in the Bible. In Hebrews chapter number 3. Don't miss this. Verse number 12. Paul writes, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Listen carefully. Unbelief never comes out of the head. It comes out of the heart. Faith honors God, and God honors faith. So faith is the dynamic in spiritual wealth and spiritual health. Hebrews chapter 11 again. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 6 again. But without faith, the majority of this world is without faith. It is impossible to please God. Now, we must seek God by faith. Go to Matthew chapter 9. Watch what Jesus Christ says here. Matthew's gospel, chapter 9, is prior to the rejection of the elect nation of their own Messiah. Because that doesn't occur till chapter 12. But in Matthew chapter 9, we find the Lord Jesus Christ saying that, look with me in Matthew 9:27. And when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, thou son of David, they're calling him Messiah, the son of David, the Messiah of Israel, have mercy on us. And when they understood Psalm 89. And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him. And Jesus saith unto them, believe ye that I am able to do this? They said unto him, yea, Lord. Then touched he their eyes, saying, according to your faith, be it unto you. And their eyes were opened. And Jesus straightly charged them, saying, see that thou no man know it. But they, when they were departed, spread abroad his fame in all that country. They couldn't keep quiet about Jesus. Why? He opened their eyes. He opened their eyes. How? By faith. Be it, look at that. Be it unto you, verse number 29, according to your faith, be it unto you. That's how it's going to be to every single human being. According to, or according not to, faith. Beloved, faith is the medium of exchange in the kingdom of heaven. I don't care if you're a millionaire. I don't care if you're Bill Gates. You can't buy it. So first of all, we see the description of the life of faith. Secondly, we see the dynamics of the life of faith. But finally, I want you to see the destination of the life of faith. Back to Hebrews. Go to chapter 12 this time. You're going to like this. In Hebrews chapter number 12, we read, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which thus so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Beloved, listen very carefully to me in closing. We are being watched by an heavenly audience. So the question arises, what is the destination of a life of faith? Right now, we are to find, follow, and finish the will of God. But listen to me. The ultimate destination of the life of faith is above, with all those who've lived and died by faith. They're just waiting us to join the heavenly choir. How are we to arrive at the destination of faith? I want to suggest five specific ways, church, and I'll be done. First, we must be motivated by the saints around us. Look at verse 1 again. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about, that means surrounded by, so great a cloud of witnesses. Folks, we need to realize that our eternal family right now is mainly invisible. Why? Because the most part of them are already in heaven. Oh my, could you imagine the size of our heavenly family? The minority is here on planet Earth. You know you're in the minority here. But in heaven, can you imagine how many billions upon billions of true believers we're going to join one day? I love that verse. They're cheering us on. Go for Jesus! Secondly, we must be not only be motivated by the saints that are around us, but secondly, we must be separated from the surplus upon us. Verse 1 again. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. What? I see a surplus being carried that must be dropped. Now, many of us carry extra weight or burdens. These are not sins necessarily, but the Bible calls them weights. That is, things that are superfluous. Things that occupy our time and keep us from serving the Lord the way we should. Listen to me, church. We must mature spiritually past the kindergarten stage of asking if a thing is right or wrong, lawful or unlawful. We must mature to the point where we ask if something is a weight or a wing. Why? Because weights will slow you down, but wings will speed you up in spiritual service. So never exchange wings for weights. Certainly, there are some things that are not bad in and of themselves, but they're extra baggage, luggage, that prevents us from running our race. What would you think of we had the Boston Marathon a couple of months ago here in Boston. What would you think of one of those runners? They come out there and they've got an 80-pound backpack full of rocks on their back. Okay, I'm gonna run this 26 miles, point two. And man, you think that guy's wacky, you know? But that's just like a Christian trying to go through the Christian life, and he's loaded down with the bowling league, and he's loaded down with the Girl Scout meeting, and he's loaded down with the going fishing with the boys on Sunday morning. He's all weighted down. He can't run. Get rid of it. Excess surplus. But something else. Thirdly, concerning the destination of the life of faith, we must be liberated from the snares beneath us. Liberated from the snares beneath us. Verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also have passed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which thus so easily beset us. Now, the word beset here in verse 1 means to entangle. When you're running a race, we need to ask ourselves, what keeps tripping us up in this race? Where do we keep failing and falling in this race? Listen, the great enemy of faith is sin. And Paul states here that sin must be left behind, especially the one sin of a doubting faith. Go to Hebrews chapter 3. No, we quoted it already. It said an evil heart of unbelief. Remember that? If our faith wavers, it's sin. To the believer, it's sin. Let me make another statement, church. In the Bible, repentance always comes before faith. Okay? There's no more preaching on repentance these days. But fourthly, we must be activated for the race before us. Look at verse number 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Now, notice the word patience here. Patience means determination. Patience perseveres, not to get saved, but because one is. Patience maintains the beaten course. Someone said, God does business with those who do business. That's a true statement. You got to keep on going for God. Don't quit. Don't throw in the towel. Christians are falling like dominoes, people, all over the world. I get reports. Believers quitting on God. Pastors quitting the ministry. Fifthly, though, we must be dedicated to the Savior above us. Look at verse 2. Looking unto Jesus. Let me ask you a question, church. Can you see Jesus physically? Nope. But the Bible says look to him. How? Through faith. Thank you, sister. Through faith. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Folks, listen. It is not great faith in God that we need, but it's faith in a great God. And that faith is the byproduct of looking to Jesus, the what? Author and finisher of our faith. What is an author? Oh yeah, that'd be somebody who creates a story and finishes it. Right? Right? You're a book. Your life is a book being written by the Son of God. I'm here to tell you. Now, understand something, beloved. Faith, the faith that I speak of today is not self-produced, but it is indeed the gift of God by Jesus Christ. Ephesians 2, 8, 9, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, lest any man should boast. You ever heard a Christian run around saying, I have so much faith, I can move mountains. Shut up and sit down, buddy. You've got nothing to boast about because the faith you have was given to you. Oh, you've got to get this in closing, people. It is not self-produced or manufactured at Walmart. It is a gift of God. Go to Romans chapter 3. This is really powerful. You may never have never seen this in your Christian life before, but I want you to see this today. This will humble you. Put it that way. Romans chapter 3, verse 22. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of the believer? Nope. Of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. Notice the separation in verse 22 between them that believe the gospel and the faith of Jesus Christ. You see that? Because them that choose to believe the gospel by a free act of their will receive the gift of Jesus' faith. Listen to me, church. When Jesus came 2,000 years ago, he lived a perfect life of faith. None of us can do that. None of us can do that. We can't live a perfect life of faith, but somebody did it for us. And when we get saved, we receive that perfect faith of, verse 22, Jesus Christ. Go to Galatians. I'm getting a little excited today. That's a good thing. Galatians chapter 3. Powerful, powerful verses here. Galatians chapter 3. We're almost done. Verse 22. But the scripture hath concluded all under sin. Why? That's awful mean. That the promise by faith in Jesus Christ? You need a King James Bible to get this verse. Of Jesus Christ might be what? Given to them that what? Believe!
can't take it.
The faith of Jesus Christ is given to all them that believe. Chapter 2 of Galatians, verse 16. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Wow! Even Paul, a Pharisee of the Pharisees, a Jew of the Jews, says, even we have believed in Jesus Christ. Why, Paul? That we might be justified by the faith of Christ. Not by the works of the law. Wow! This is so good. Now, in closing, I want you to turn back to Habakkuk. I quoted from Habakkuk, but we didn't actually read it. I want you to go to Habakkuk chapter number 2. You'll find it just before Zephaniah, just after Micah, Nahum, I should say. In Habakkuk chapter number 2, the prophet is perplexed. The nation is in turmoil. And God makes a statement to Habakkuk in verse number 4. But watch what he says. Behold, his soul which is lifted up, prideful, is not upright in him. But the just shall live by his faith. Way back in the Old Testament, God told the prophet, you need to live by my son's faith, not your own. Why? Because yours and mine will fail because of this flesh. Beloved, in closing, let me say this. Jesus Christ alone, by his Holy Spirit, implants saving faith into the spirit of every human being who truly repents and believes the gospel of grace. Beloved, this prevents all flesh from glorying except in the Lord Jesus Christ, because he is the divine author and finisher of our faith. He's keeping our faith strong. Not me, not you. Listen to me. What is my message today? It's the only way to live. A preacher once said, we can exist without faith, but we cannot live without faith. So I ask you in closing, people, today, do you want to live today and live abundantly? Do you want to live that Christian life, spirit-filled, that Jesus came to give? A life that is so filled with the faith of Jesus Christ that nothing troubles you, nothing bothers you, nothing phases you, because you know by faith that Jesus Christ is in control of everything. Everything in my life. You don't have to sweat anymore. You don't have to be burdened anymore. You don't have to worry and fret and complain. You can simply trust Jesus and live the only life that is necessary, the life of faith. I'm so thankful today. If that is your desire, that's your choice, there's only one way for you to live. And I challenge you to come to this altar today. Commit your entire life into the hands of God's dear Son by faith and start living the life that He has waiting for you. Father in heaven, how we thank you for the only way to live. It is by grace through faith and neither of ourselves. They are both the gifts of God. Lord, you have such a glorious life for us. And it all centers in that glorious author, creator, and finisher of our faith. Lord, I cannot tell this church today how grateful this sinner is that I have saving faith. Was given to me on October the 3rd in 1986. And Lord, you've never taken it away. You planted it in my soul, deep down in my spirit, to stay forever by the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Lord, for saving faith. But oh God, there are so many lost souls around us that don't see the unseen. They don't believe the gospel of grace. They don't know God. And they're on their way to a devil's hell. Lord, I tremble and quake when I think of those hundreds and hundreds of people yesterday that perished in that tsunami in Indonesia. How horrifying to think how many of them were not saved. Oh, Lord, I pray for the gospel to bring forth more fruit, Lord. I pray for more souls to be receiving saving faith, even the faith of Jesus Christ as the gift of God, by turning to Him for salvation, by believing that He died on the cross for their sins, and by receiving the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of faith. Lord, I pray today, secondly, not only for all those who are lost, but for all those who are saved and not living by faith. Lord, our churches are diminishing. Lord, our ranks are lowering. Our memberships are dropping. Lord, what's happening to the Church of Jesus Christ? We're not living by faith these days. And oh God, it breaks my heart as a pastor. Lord, this building should be filled to overflowing today, but it's not. Lord, we're living in the time of Laodicea, the time of apostasy, the time of lukewarmness, Lord. We're living in a frightening time, Lord, just prior to the peace treaty being signed and the rapture taking place and the Antichrist taking over the world. Lord, we're living in the most serious time on earth in its history. And we are about to witness the unveiling, the revelation of the Son of God. Lord, we're so excited that we must be that generation which shall not see death, but be translated from life to eternal life above, bypassing the grave through rapture. Lord, how we're excited about that, but help us to share this message with as many as we can, oh God, before it's too late, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Folks, let's grab our hymnals at this time. We will have a short invitation before we're dismissed. I'd ask you to open up to 214, I believe. No, it's not 214. Let me just double check that. That would be 231. 231, people. We'll stand, and perhaps there's somebody the Lord's laid on your heart that is saved. I want to say somebody that is saved, but they're not here today. They're not living by faith. They're down and defeated, and they need Jesus Christ. They need the faith of Jesus Christ and stop trying to do it themselves. And you need to go to them and you need to tell them, I need thee every hour. 231. Praise the Lord. Sing it to the Lord. We'll stand. Oh yeah. Sweet sounding piano. My Savior, I come to thee on the first. I need thee every hour, most gracious Lord. No tender voice like thine can be supported. I need thee, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I Yes. come to thee, Lord. Amen, amen. How we need him more and more as we see the day approaching. Father, thank you today for a good meeting. Thank you for these faithful ones, Lord. I see their faces every week in church. Lord, I pray you'd bless their faith, the faith that you've given them to believe on Jesus Christ unto the redemption of the soul. Lord, I marvel when we dig in deeply into your word, O God, and we rightly understand that everything, it's all by thy grace. Nothing in me, nothing of me could ever pay the price. I'm so thankful that Jesus paid it all. And Lord, now we need thee. We need thee to live the Christian life, the only life to live, the life of faith. And we thank you, Lord, that you have given us the comforter to do so. We are without excuse, Lord. We are without excuse today because we possess the Spirit of Jesus Christ within. Thank you, Lord. And thank you for something else, Lord. The basis of our faith, what you said in your word. The word of God is the sword of the Spirit. And Lord, it says that faith cometh by hearing, hearing the word of God. We're so grateful, Lord, that faith is like a muscle. It grows bigger and stronger and mightier as it's used. Help us to use that faith you've given us, Lord. Help us to exercise the faith of Jesus Christ, which is perfect. No flaws, no weakness, just perfection of faith. That's what we've got. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord, people.